From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, August 3rd, 2017. And on this day, new proposed rules for MaineCare soften an original stance that recipients would have to work and pay premiums, but health advocates say people will still suffer. And we'll remember American newsman Richard Dudman. That's all ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Masters of Policy Planning and Management, preparing students to be a force for positive change in their communities.
People who receive MaineCare, the state's version of Medicaid, may soon have to work and pay monthly premiums to get benefits. The state's Department of Health and Human Services officially filed an application this week to the federal government to make the changes. As Patty White reports, health advocates and advocates for people with low incomes say Maine's plan would erect barriers to health care that will drive up costs for everyone.
If the department's waiver application is approved, people who receive MaineCare would be required to work 20 hours a week, pay monthly premiums, and chip in $10 if they go to an emergency department for a non-emergency issue. The goal, according to DHHS, is to preserve its limited financial resources for the neediest and to encourage financial independence and personal responsibility for health.
Well, they sound nice, but what are they doing to achieve that? Charging people who have no money a premium or a copayment for using the emergency department?
Jack Comart is with Maine Equal Justice Partners, an advocacy group for low-income Mainers. The waiver Maine is seeking, known as the 1115 waiver, is to test new ideas to improve healthcare and lower costs. But Comart says Maine's proposal is for an old idea that doesn't work.
There's 40 years of research on charging premiums and copayments to low-income individuals, and it consistently shows that they lose eligibility.
DHHS announced its intentions earlier this year and held two public hearings in May. The comments they received prompted some changes. In its final application, the department lowered monthly premiums to a maximum of $40 a month versus nearly $70. It expanded the pool of people who would be exempt from work requirements. The department also removed a penalty to pay for missed appointments. But the changes are not enough to sway people like Marty Sable, board president of the Maine Primary Care Association.
To be eligible for MaineCare, you're basically living very close to the poverty line anyway, and to put these extra cost burdens on people who really don't have the money really has the effect of canceling their health insurance coverage.
Sable sees this as an effort by the LePage administration to further reduce the number of people on MaineCare, which, says David Winslow of the Maine Hospital Association, may save the state money, but it will shift costs to others.
The number of people on MaineCare is down by about 76,000 people from the last time we checked in the last 5 years. And during that same period, this has shown a dramatic increase in hospital uncompensated care. It's grown by about $124 million in the past 6 years.
The cost of that uncompensated care, says Winslow, ultimately gets shifted to consumers who have insurance. Maine is one of about a half dozen GOP-led states seeking approval to tighten eligibility requirements for Medicaid. Democratic Congresswoman Shelley Pingree called Maine's waiver request nonsensical in a written response, saying it would cause undue harm to the most vulnerable. Pingree says she'll convey her concerns to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Jack Comart says if Maine's application is approved, Maine Equal Justice Partners will file suit. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Companies that wait for the patent on an original brand name pharmaceutical to expire and then buy the drug before dramatically increasing its price are among the targets of provisions co-authored by Maine Republican Senator Susan Collins, included in legislation to reauthorize the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
By taking these steps, we will enhance regulatory certainty for generic drug companies, help prevent shortages, increase competition to lower prices and prevent monopolies, and deter practices that can lead to unjustifiable, exorbitant price hikes.
Collins says an aging committee investigation into sudden price spikes found older drugs with only one manufacturer and no generic competitor are particularly vulnerable to dramatic and sudden price increases. The legislation would, among other things, require the FDA to prioritize the review of certain generic drug applications, provide increased transparency into the backlog of applications for drug approvals, provide the public with accurate information about drugs with limited competition, and streamline the regulatory process. Former Senate Majority Leader George Mitchell says Maine's Republican governor is wrong to criticize the state's two U.S. senators for opposing an Affordable Care Act repeal. Mitchell, a Maine Democrat, responded to Paul LePage's criticism of Republican Senator Susan Collins and Independent Senator Angus King today. He says the senators were representing the interests of Mainers by opposing the repeal, which he says would harm rural residents and the elderly and poor. LePage called Collins and King dangerous in a Wall Street Journal op-ed yesterday. A spokesman for LePage's office says Thursday the governor is not interested in responding to former members of the world's most exclusive club. Mitchell was a member of the Senate from 1980 to 1995. He served as majority leader for the final 6 years. And finally, tonight, Richard Dudman, an American newsman who rose to prominence in the 1970s and later made his home in Maine, has died. The Ellsworth American reports that Dudman passed away at a retirement community in Blue Hill. He was 99. Keith Shortall has more.
Dudman says he started out wanting to become a doctor, but that all changed shortly after he arrived at Stanford.
And on the first day, they started me out in the biology class, and I had to take dissect a frog, and I didn't like the smell of I didn't like the whole thing. And I quickly decided biology was not for me. But about the same time, my roommate came in and he says, "I'm going down and try out for the Stanford Daily. You want to come along?" So I did. And I was hooked quickly, and I actually spent more time on the Stanford Daily than I did in classes.
Dudman's 70-year career had a number of highlights, including his capture and imprisonment by the Viet Cong in Cambodia in 1970. In an interview with Maine Public in 2009, Dudman recalled how he and two other journalists were taken into custody after coming upon a roadblock on the way to Phnom Penh.
They marched us off into the jungle with our hands up like this, and I was older than these other two reporters. And I felt it was my responsibility to keep their spirits up. So I said, "You know, if we get out of here alive, we're going to have one hell of a good story." And it was partly a joke, but I meant it too. It was hazardous, but it was a wonderful opportunity to see the other side of this war that we'd known only from our own side.
Right. He was held prisoner for over a month, and the harrowing tale was the subject of his memoir, 40 Days with the Enemy. Later, in 1978, when the Khmer Rouge took power in Cambodia, Dudman came to interview and photograph Pol Pot. He narrowly escaped being shot that same night. Another Western visitor in the group was killed. During his career at the Denver Post and later the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, he covered the assassination of John F. Kennedy and the Watergate scandal. He was blacklisted by the Nixon administration, appearing on the president's notorious enemies list. He said that throughout his career, he set a firm standard for reporters.
And I used to tell my staff, the important things are do it fast, do it accurately, and do it fairly. And then some wise apple would always say, "In what order?" And I said, "No order at all. You got to do all three at the same time."
Dudman and his wife Helen retired to Maine, where they kept a permanent home in Ellsworth and a vacation cottage on Little Cranberry Island. He continued to take special assignments from the Post-Dispatch, and he became a contributing editor for the Bangor Daily News. According to the newspaper's archives, he wrote over 1,000 opinion pieces over the span of 12 years. He often gave this advice to young reporters just starting out.
I tell them, first, they're performing a vital function, because a democracy that's not an informed democracy is going to fail. An informed electorate is essential, and they're a big part of it.
According to the Ellsworth American, Dudman's wife Helen, his daughters, and other family members were with him when he died Thursday morning. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Keith Shortall.
And for disclosure, Helen Dudman, the wife of Richard Dudman, is a former member of Maine Public's Board of Trustees. For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Thursday, August 3rd, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.